the mother humping land of
tongue twisters, titty twisters, and purple nurples.
It's the gangster humping land of.
There's some sweet tea in the fridge if y'all are thirsty.
It's the sandal wearing land of. It's the garbage raping land of.
Discarded giant pubic hair.
The suffering of tiny baby cows.
The girthy wang member of your mother.
It's the mother humping land of. It's the mother humping land of. It's the mother humping land of. It's the mother humping land of.
Oh. Okay.
All right. Hello.
I'm there.
Hi.
Hello. Welcome back to the Land of Podcast.
We had a brief hiatus.
It's been an age and a
half. Very, very brief hiatus.
Someone got Ebola and there was quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got deported for a short period of time because of the beard.
That's true. And your Mexican heritage.
And I'm actually back illegally, so.
He's a Mexican Muslim.
Oh, yeah.
A Mexilum? That's awesome.
Or a Mexican?
I'm also gay transgender, so. I'm pretty sure there's a drone targeting me right now.
The past few months have been really hard on a relationship.
Yeah.
Truly.
There were a lot of changes. I
briefly fell in love with a donkey.
So that's why we haven't been recording. So
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. I was out of the country trekking through the desert with Julio, my donkey lover.
We don't want to bog everyone who's listening down.
No.
Mundane details of Nick's life.
There's a lot of nitty gritty that's just going to be really, really boring. So.
Yeah. It's just typical stuff.
Yada,
regular
yada, yada.
American transgendered boy, man, donkey love, you know.
Yeah. Yada, yada, yada. Back in America recording.
Yeah.
So welcome.
So here we are.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Yes. I'm glad the house is still standing.
If you're still a devoted listener, how?
Thank you for your perseverance. Jesus fucking Christ.
All 2.5 of you.
Contact us and we will send you a present because you were the only people who've ever listened to this podcast.
Yeah, you said this last time, but then nobody ever did. So we were never able to send them a homemade gift. So fuck you, listeners.
Yeah, that's their fault.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
You passed up on an awesome, shitty handmade gift.
Yeah, I was going to crochet something.
You know how to crochet?
No.
He knows how to tie yarn together.
Yeah, that was going to be really cool.
Here's a ball of yarn I crocheted.
Here's a ball of yarn. You can do something with it.
You can go ahead and learn how to crochet.
It's like a sweater if you tie it to your chest.
You can just cover your body, like go around and around.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you unravel it and then wrap it around yourself and you can never take it off.
Well, you can. You also can't get into water, so.
That's very true.
It will shrink. Mm-hmm. Like
it will also drown you.
It will strangle you like a boa. A yarn boa. What the hell is that?
That was a phone.
Yeah, that was a phone vooping.
Nick's phone.
I'm going to make it stop vooping.
He's set to rock his socks whenever he gets an email.
That rocked my socks.
All the way in Idaho.
I wonder what that sounds like through car speakers to the thousands of listeners who are listening to this.
I think you mean millions.
No, millions.
You're just driving along, listening to people talking, and boop, boop. I mean, do you immediately crash your car, or is there like a 3-second delay on that?
I'm assuming we caused thousands of deaths, and that makes me happy.
Good. It's the best we could hope for this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
I think we're doing people a favor if that's the case. Like, really.
I mean, as long as they don't delete their account that's subscribing to our podcast, our numbers look good.
Yeah. So make sure you posthumously download our shit.
Leave us a review on iTunes if you're going to die. And if you're not going to die. Even if you're maybe going to die.
Oh, yeah. Our podcast is on iTunes. That's weird.
Is it?
Yeah.
What's really sad is I haven't gone on iTunes to give us a good review.
Oh, it's on iTunes. It's there.
Where it used to be.
I'm sure it still is.
I don't think anybody listened to it, but we should check that sometime. What if someone gave us like an awesome review or a really bad review?
I mean, I guess we always put the Podomatic link so no one would have looked for us on iTunes.
No, I put iTunes in something, but
no.
No one would have ever looked for anything anyway, because no one listens to this podcast.
I do.
Nick does.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And if they don't, fuck them.
Yeah, we do it for our own pleasure, really. So, thanks for coming along, or not. Whatever. We don't need you.
Just like my sex working. I also use that for my sex working.
Should you say sex working or sex sporking?
Working.
Oh, okay.
Sporking?
Yeah.
It sounds like sporking.
Is sporking like the industrial sex working?
No,
like...
it's just an it's a tool you use, like a sex toy or a whip or a crop or a sex swing.
No,
or,
I like the idea of
or a Chevy Volvo
sex sporking,
which is not a thing.
Like a Chevy Volvo?
Yeah, I meant to say Volt, and then I meant to say Volvo, and so they basically I hybridized two companies that make cars into one super company. That also
just
has,
like a spork. It was perfect.
But it also has sex toys on the hood.
Oh. Of course it does. Just a big old nasty dildo on the hood.
There's a surprisingly large market
for it. Oh my
god,
I would ram into so many cars.
Especially if you're driving an SUV and you like went to the back of someone's windshield and it's just a giant dick smashing into the back of them. Oh god. Yeah. How is this not a thing already?
We should make that happen.
Right through the sticker picture of their family.
Yes! Oh, man. Please. Yeah.
If you out there would like to support this idea, we will have a Kickstarter going.
Yeah. We'll get a Patreon, too, and you can... That could be one of the rewards. You get a car dildo.
Yeah. We will be happy to take your funding and use it towards this goal.
You know what I really think we need to do while we're talking about Patreons, which we're never going to do, but if we ever did, we should get a giant fucking Rong Dong and go to the White House and just beat fucking Donald Trump with a giant...
Oh my god, we'd be shot as soon as we step through the gate.
Well, we should do it anyway, because it would be worth it.
I like your idea.
Like, we need, it has to be huge, like...
The size of a car.
I mean, I guess if we're going to do that, we could sorority boys it and, like, set up a trebuchet that will fire the Rong Dong into the side of the White House, crushing, like, half of it.
That would be better. Then it'd give us a little chance to retreat, too.
Okay, I could get down with that.
Yeah, we
but
don't
But it also
die
has to say in giant letters, Rong Dong.
False fact.
Yeah, false fucking fact. We were the original.
False fact.
False factors.
Yeah, you goddamn right. What the hell?
Does anyone know? Do we know anyone that knows Kellyanne Conway? Because I think they stole our goddamn idea.
She probably is the one listener to this podcast.
Damn it. That's where she's getting all the ideas. Oh, my God.
Should we remind her really quick that this is fiction?
There's going to be weaponized sex toys coming out of the White House anytime now.
I think
attached to drones.
No.
Hmm.
Interesting.
It might not be bad.
Yeah, the possibilities are not all bad. Next thing.
Anyway,
yeah. So giant Rong Dong, car dildos.
Trebuchets.
Yes.
False fact.
I mean, fucking false fact, dude. We came up with that like 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's so old hat. Fuck that.
Seriously. I wish we had recorded that conversation, actually.
I think we might have.
It came up in a previous recording where we talked about Rong Dong, but I don't think we ever tied it to false facts. So we
the OG Rong Dong combo was off the grid.
Yeah.
It was just around my sister's kitchen table.
Oh, damn, you're right.
Yeah.
I like how off the grid is we weren't intentionally recording it at the time.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was off the... And this was also pre, like, NSA spying and...
We're not millennial enough. We didn't record everything that we do and put it on YouTube.
Or Snapchat.
Damn it, that sounds like a super old man statement.
Yeah.
Fuck, we're gonna
do Snapchat and...
Yeah, what's YouTube? What the fuck are you talking
about? Yeah, we're gonna
about?
Edit that out in post.
We need a sound engineer. We need someone who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, we need people. We need a staff of, yeah, I don't know,
clearly.
30, 40, 50 people.
Interns, so we don't have to pay them.
Yeah, fuck them.
Yeah. I could probably round some people up.
Yeah, they get joy out of the things they do for us. That's their payment.
That's happiness. Happiness.
Do you imagine getting college credit for working on our show?
The Land of supports happiness and joy. And unpaid interns.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we don't have any.
Right.
If we did, it probably wouldn't have taken us an hour to figure out what we
Oh my god, they could go get Rong Dongs for us.
Yeah, and giant have to do car dildos. Shit. And bring us shots, and they could bring the pee tray when we have to pee.
Oh, the pee tray.
The pee tray, right? Yeah.
Yeah, let's do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's get on that.
I mean, I'm tied to high schoolers and Mel's tied to college students, so I bet we could probably find some students that need credits.
Wait, you're physically tied to them?
Yes, I have them anchored to me.
At the moment.
This is a problem.
Yeah, it's very awkward.
How do you sleep at night?
Well, I tie them warped to a medieval English prison, and this is the sentence they gave me, so.
What the fuck?
Instead of the iron ball, they chained me to the people that I wronged.
High school?
It was a strange time.
Oh, yeah. Well, there weren't really high schoolers in that time.
I'm not even going to try to explain what the fuck's going on, because that's like a whole new story that I should start writing. Okay, no, nobody talk about that at all in the future. That's going to be my next story.
Yeah. And next time on the Landau podcast.
In 2 years from now.
Sounds like an excellent coming-of-age teen story.
2 years from now. When our one listener is dead.
Probably. Wait, me?
No, Kellyanne Conway.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And that was not a threat. Like, she's probably going to die of stress because it's hard to keep lies straight.
That's true. Alternative facts are tricky.
Wrong dong. False facts.
Boom.
All right, should we get into some stories?
We should probably get into some
after
stories.
After political we should maybe. Ranting? Or veiled political ranting? Was that veiled?
It was not veiled.
Oh, okay.
We mentioned people by name.
Oh, well.
I mean, Skellyanne Sconway.
Yes.
I mean, maybe that's one way of looking at it.
There you go. Boom. See? There's your instant out. Yep. Well played.
Yeah, this is a world.
They're called secondary truthhoods, not alternative facts.
They're called false fucking facts. False facts are things that are not true.
Secondary truthhoods.
All right, who's going first this time around?
I'm pretty sure Jesse volunteered to go first.
I guess it comes upon me to go first, then.
I guess it's Jesse.
It all comes upon you to go first.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Everyone likes coming on me first.
I prefer second, but you know.
You guys are gonna have to bear with me though.
No bear.
It's been at least 100,000 years since I've written a story.
And 200,000 years since you've read a story.
Don't inhale that tequila that you're pouring.
Yeah, don't
right
snort
now.
That line of tequila.
How did you know?
I could hear it.
Yeah, what? There's clanking and you clearly pouring under your desk.
I'm not pouring anything onto my desk.
You're pouring into a shot glass on or under your desk. Or you're
lies.
Dipping your deep penis
all I,
in liquor.
All I hear are lies. You know what the majesty of a podcast is? They can't see what we're doing. Okay?
That's true.
So you should say, be careful with that grape juice. You're going to spill it all over the back floor of the car. And then someone's going to get pissed and pull the car over and smash it.
Why would you be
into
recording
a goddamn
from a car?
Telephone pole.
Wait, you're going to pull the car over and then smash it? Like you're going to push the car
yeah.
into the telephone
yeah.
pole?
Yeah. Yeah, ever so slightly. I mean, you don't want to damage
just a
the car,
bit. Just
but you
bit.
Just want to show that you're angry.
Yeah.
I am very mad right now. Smash.
Ding.
Tiny smash. The paint. Mm-hmm. The paint is scratched. No.
Yeah, I mean, if you've ever had children, you know that you have to show aggression and anger without breaking your own shit. So.
You gotta break their shit.
Yeah.
Like, take their toy and smash it.
Or threaten to just give it away.
Yeah.
It's out of here.
Yeah. If you don't pick that up, it's going to poor people. And then they're like, not poor people.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
The Landov does not condone poor people.
If nothing else, brandish the sword as much as possible to your children.
Yes.
Just to tell them that it's there.
Yeah, don't directly threaten. Just pull it out and look menacing and then walk away.
Like an actual sword?
Yes. No, it has to be a real sword.
Oh, okay.
I mean, unless you own a lightsaber. That would be good, too.
Parenting 101.
I can tell, Nick, and that was Jing. That was the lightsaber.
That was your lightsaber sound?
Zing. Is that better?
Oh,
is that better? No, bad. Not good. See, oh yeah, that was good. Okay.
Well, technically, Melody owns a Chinese lightsaber, so it's Jung's more.
I had to go for the cheap version. Don't mock me. Yeah, I'm poor.
I understand.
Oh my god, that was so racist.
That was really racist.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to The Land Of.
The Land Of does not condone racism.
We really don't.
We don't condone. We just sometimes accidentally participate in.
And sometimes on purpose when we're telling a story. I mean,
nice cover, Mel.
Oh wait, I was supposed to lie.
Yeah, shit.
I'm bad at this false fact thing.
Way to go, Spicer.
I didn't mispronounce like 55 words in that 3-word sentence.
Oh, good point. You're actually literate.
I don't know I'd go that far.
I really hope there's an all-girl pop group called the Spicer Girls coming out sometime soon.
We should start it. We should be it.
Yes, that would be cool. They just stand behind podiums and look fucking stupid.
Well, no. They dance. There's dance beats going on, and they just state things that aren't true to a beat.
Then fuck up words. You can't forget the fucking up words.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got to mispronounce like every third word.
And call the Canadian Prime Minister Joe.
And say things like, the earth is flat.
Oh, man. Yeah. Is it possible that that's a podcast and we just don't know it yet?
The Spicer Girls?
No, like...
The earth is flat?
The whole thing. The whole kit and caboodle. Like, it's just a huge... what is that called? Like a play where you don't know it's a play. Like you walk into it, not a farce.
Well, okay. Duck.
Yeah, a duck.
Okay.
If you look on Cracked, they actually have a review of the Trump reality show. Even though it's not a reality show. It's fucking hilarious because they treat it like it's a TV show. And they review the episodes. And so far it's been great.
I'm talking about...
And terrible, like, because it's real.
Yeah.
No, it absolutely. It's the worst thing in the universe because it is real. But the Cracked show itself is hilarious as shit if you could just suspend reality for a few seconds. Free plug for Cracked.com.
Hey!
I don't know if they want that.
Please sponsor our podcast.
Yes.
Cracked is going to sue us now.
If Cracked would like to sponsor our show, you can go ahead and click here.
Yeah, we're going to receive a letter on legal font.
Cease and desist. Please never, ever mention Cracked again. Sorry.
Even for free.
Defamation of character.
Yeah.
Yeah, libel. That's a problem.
Libel.
Slander. That's what we do. We defame character. That's what we do.
I mean, that's kind of true.
Mostly our own, but sometimes other people.
Yes. Oh, look at him reaching over into that cooler. See, I'm trying to help the listener who cannot see what's happening.
You should have said, look at him reaching over into that playmate.
Oh, yeah.
She's tiny and mostly red.
She's red on the bottom.
Her top opens.
She hinges open somehow, miraculously, and is filled with ice and frosty beverage.
Oh. That sounds like a cooler.
It became much less sexy, but I still like it.
Sounds like the ideal mate.
It does?
Just don't put your penis in it. Because it's frosty and cold. And you
maybe not mate, but companion.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. Mate, you don't want jizz on your beer.
Well, there's a market for that.
That's probably true. Look at your fancy shot glass with it. Thing on it.
Thank you.
Yeah, see, we have tiny goblet shot glasses.
Goblet.
It's a metal goblet.
I
see it, but that doesn't help the listener at home.
I was showing you, not the listener.
It's beautiful. It looks like tiny something goblet. Straight from The Land Of, which is Segway.
Yes.
Segway.
Segway.
A story from which I'm about to tell.
All right, let's hear it.
My story.
Woo!
If you're prepared,
this
if you're prepared,
months and months of pent up excitement.
Yeah,
do you want me to go full hype man mode? Oh shit, we about to hear a story from Jesse.
Yeah, whoa.
That's about all the hype I've got. I'm terrible hype man.
That's pretty hypey.
The end. I mean, what can you say after that?
That's the end of the. We can never record again.
No,
that's the end of the podcast.
I think that's the end.
Thanks for listening.
See you later.
Just kidding.
Woo!
There we go.
There it is.
Okay.
Okay, my story. And you'll have to bear with me because there's one line of dialogue, and it's like four words long in the whole sentence. So it's just kind of something you're going to have to deal with.
That's your story? I'm
so fucking excited for this line of dialogue.
Yeah, oh, it's going to be good. It's going to be real good. The title of my story is called The Other White Meeks.
Oh, shit.
Woo!
Yeah. Woo! Okay, here we go. Rick Meeks was the first
Fuck
in
you.
A long line. Yeah, sorry.
You fucking asshole.
Rick Meeks was the first in a long line of Meeks to break the mold. Rick's father and his father before him, and his father before him, and his mother's father, and his father's uncle dad were all total douchebags. Even Rick's great-great-grandfather uncle dad douche-fucking-douche-ham, known in close circles as the douche to end all douching, was a douche, if you can believe it or not.
I can't.
But Rick, our Rick, was anything but. When Rick Meeks was 4 years old, he, like all Meeks boys, was due to begin the time-honored ritualistic Meeks family training, the douchening. The douchening, as they coined it, began with a gradual widening of the child's stomach by way of air forced into the midsection via a tube slid partially down the throat. You follow me?
Like foie gras?
Awful.
The slow and painstaking process of inflating and deflating would carry on for over a year or so in order to give the child's individual ribs a chance to dislodge and reposition and give the internal organs time to adjust accordingly. A bit of Meek's family history from antiquity, by the way. Early efforts at this inflation were conducted too quickly and resulted in slightly undesirable child explosions. Therefore, the Meeks' eye, they gradually learned to slow the process down a bit. The Meeks' eye weren't, after all, simply monsters with a thirst for child mutilation. No. They were artists with a penchant for child disfigurement. Understand the difference here?
Yes, artiste.
Okay, good. After the appropriate degree of stomach stretching, the Meeks child's head would be placed in a contraption featuring crude clamps of a progressively smaller diameter, so their skull could be forced to elongate and reform into a cylinder of a sort.
Is this some crystal skull bullshit going on?
Well, it kind of sounds like it, but just bear with me. Ultimately, through careful bone-crushing suggestion, the child's brain would end up at the far posterior end of the cranial cap, near the neck and the mouth, and the nose and eyes and lips would be clumped together at the front end, nearly 4 feet away. I'm trying to paint a picture here.
Yeah, that's horrifying.
Oh, so it's like aliens, but stupider.
Right.
Like, none of the effective murder parts of aliens.
Yeah.
Just people that can't move because their heads are 4 feet. Okay, I like it.
Exactly.
I like it.
So, obviously, you have to agree with my earlier assertion that the Meeks' eye were unrivaled artists, right?
Absolutely.
No? Oh, yes.
Okay. Rembrandts.
Well, regardless, buckle the fuck up because I'm about to drive this one home to your mom and give it to her. And no, I don't mean give it to her sexually or anything, you sick bitch. I mean, I'll drive over to your house, dress to the nines, and gently knock on your front door. Surprising your mother with a bouquet of her favorite flowers and a charming card with my deepest sentiments. She'll invite me in, and we'll have a spot of tea, talking about everything and nothing at all. After getting lost in each other's presence, and after a long, life-altering chat about things that could have been, I'll begrudgingly excuse myself, and we will part ways with a warm embrace. Pivoting on my heel, I'll reach the door, and not even turn my head when she says, "Wait," expectantly, with tears flowing freely down her porcelain cheeks. I'll not turn my head, but I will briefly pause and then step across the threshold towards my car. Then, out of nowhere, I'll leap back into the house and slap her right in her damn face, bowling her over a large tower of priceless Ming Dynasty vases, comically stacked like bowling pins.
Damn it, I told her not to stack the Ming vases like that.
I know. She does every time. The force of the blow will drive her straight through the vases into a pit of jagged rocks that I installed in secret that one time you weren't looking. Ultimately impaling her innocent chest 17 times from unimaginable angles. So yeah, I'll drive the point home like that, if you can remember what I was talking about before I drove the point home.
I was trying to figure out what an unimaginable angle was. Like, negative infinity?
Exactly.
How
are you thinking? So, as I was saying, by the end of the arduous 4-year douchening, the unfortunate Meek's child would be approaching 10 years of age and be horribly, terribly, and irrevocably disfigured. Clearly incapable of basic human functioning and emoting feelings such as compassion, joy, and happiness, and also certainly incapable of experiencing the most powerful of emotions, love.
Aww.
Mm-hmm. Now, what in the holy hell would drive the Meek-Sai elders to do this to their own offspring, you ask? Why in the name of Bill Cosby's wrinkled old dick would anyone want to do such a thing? Not even that psychotic fish bitch Sirene the Siren would be so foul, so wrong, so like an over-gesticulating Italian sports announcer. Why would they stretch their children's bellies so severely and elongate their heads thusly? I'll tell you why. I will. I'll tell you right now, in fact. I'm going to tell you.
Oh my God.
I will do it. When?
Ah!
Soon.
Ah.
No, wait. Right now.
Ah!
I will tell you right now.
Ah.
The Meek-Sai elders do this because they're douches.
Oh, thank God.
Figuratively, of course. Oh, yeah, and also literally. I mean, come on. I know you can see the full picture in your head now, a large, bulbous body that can be filled with a scented, pH-balanced fluid and a long, head-shaped nozzle, like a nozzle that can be used as a wedge or a spreader, if you will, to penetrate the area where stuff goes down. You get the idea. So anyways, what the fuck was I talking about? Oh, yeah. Before I got into that ever so crucial bit of expositional backstory on the Meeks clan, which I'm sure you all enjoyed thoroughly, I mentioned that Rick Meeks broke the mold and escaped his doomed douche fate as ordained by the Meeks family's origins. He was not at all a douche like his forebears. Rick had run away at the age of 4 after seeing his older brother and best friend Flanagan Meeks begin the douchening. Yes, Flanagan. Flanagan had been totally stoked about the process and couldn't wait until the day he could at last fulfill his destiny and instill pride in his ancestors by faithfully delivering that pleasant-smelling inert fluid deep within the nether regions of someone experiencing that not-so-fresh feeling.
As a Meeks does. Jesus, tap dancing Christ. I guess keep going.
Well, we have to see what happens.
No, absolutely.
I'm going to try, and it gets so much weirder. Okay.
Good.
Rick couldn't believe the betrayal, couldn't fathom the shot of shoving your elongated face into another's dingy corpse cellar.
Wait,
that's another word for vagina. Yeah.
Dingy
corpse
cellar.
Wait, what? Corpse?
Corpse.
Or quirk?
Cellar.
Okay.
Corpse cellar.
Okay.
Whoa. Yeah.
I guess that's one place to store corpses.
Oh, I have a lot of questions about that, but continue.
That's fine.
Yeah.
We can revisit this at the end. It's fine. There's going to be some questions.
Oh, good. Q&A session.
Yeah, history is fraught with questions.
Especially shittily recorded history.
Distraught? Oh, shit. Distraught and hurt. Excuse me. I'm re-experiencing puberty. This is so dumb. I'm going through puberty again. Oh, fuck. Okay. Ow. Lama is breathing. Okay. Distraught and hurt by his brother's lust to follow the chosen path, late one night, with hot tears streaming from his undeformed eyes, he crept into his brother's room and pulled out a double-edged stiletto knife. Feeling the cool, comforting heft in his hand, he walked toward Flanagan's bed and violently cut off his brother's face in a fit of rage. Retreating from the screams of pain and agony, Rick did the only thing he could think to do. Rick ran. He ran so far away.
I was concerned for a second you were going to say that Rick rolled.
Yeah, I was too.
We can edit that in post for sure.
We've already used that joke, though.
Oh. It never gets old.
That's true.
Then let's unedit it in post. Which is the same as not doing jack shit.
Which is what we always do.
Yeah, yeah. That's not the end.
No, I know.
10 years.
Well, I didn't know, but I assumed it wasn't.
Indeed.
Continue. Can I keep interrupting you as you keep going?
10 years what? Pass.
What? You fucking bitch.
I'm sorry, I'll stop.
Interrupting Cal says what? Moo. That's a brilliant joke.
Hilarious.
10 years pass, and a few hundred ducks die. Tragic, really. Situated in the far north region of the land of lies the vast chouch fields of Mr. Bojangles. An unforbidding land where those who wandered too far in never made it back out. The chouches weren't inherently evil, though their form was slightly terrifying. In an effort to clear some confusion for those who may not be familiar with the term chouch, and for the sake of posterity, I'll let Nick describe what exactly a chouch is. Nick?
You see, if you are lacking seating for multiple guests, but you all want to hang out together and watch TV, you take at least 3, but up to 5 or 6 folding camp chairs, and then you tape them together into a couch, thus forming a chair couch, a.k.a. chouch.
Beautiful.
I'm so fucking impressed I pulled that off on the spot.
You tape them together with duct tape?
It doesn't matter. Duct tape is obviously the strongest, unless you want to try to gorilla glue them all together, but that's just ridiculous.
That would be silly.
We would not do anything silly.
A chouch is born.
Yes, a chouch is born.
And we celebrate at Christmas.
So like I said, the chouches, thank you, Nick, by the way. The chouches weren't God damn it. They weren't inherently evil. But there was something just off about the chouch fields. Everyone had heard the legends about the cloaked figure that roamed the chouch fields at night. Most adults assumed the stories were fabricated by the caretaker of the lands in order to keep children off the couches. Damned kids! Always putting their feet up on those chouches, touching them with their grubby little hands. But the adults who'd grown up in the region were also smart enough to stay the hell away from the chouch fields. Something was wrong. And the nightly disappearances were not only disconcerting, but increasing in frequency. The last few years, stories told late at night in the local pubs about terrible, howling, inhuman screams and gruesome deaths were vivid enough to make not only your own milk curdle, but all the milk in the milk markets go sour, causing a devastating milk market collapse, sending the land of into milkonomic terror and upheaval.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking scary stuff.
That's right. Terrifying.
However, even these rumors and frightening stories of screaming and terror didn't stop old Wibblewops McDurphy, the town drunk, from wandering late one from wandering late one night into the fields of Mr. Bojangles. As an aside, I'm going to flesh out the character of Wibblewops McDurphy at the bequest of my wife Esther. Esther, my dear, this one is for you. You see, when I was writing this the first time, I was reading it to her, and she said, "We don't know anything about Wibblewops. So, how can we get attached to him?" So, here we go. Wibblewops had grown up in a broken family, beaten daily by angry, misled chouches on the streets of Brooklyn.
Oh my
and
God.
Coming, yeah, poor coming home. I know, poor Bassett. He would come home only to be beaten badly by both his mother and his father while watching She-Man reruns on TV after dinner.
That's going to give him some fucked up perceptions of women.
Absolutely.
And sex.
And
Pegasi.
She-Man.
Yeah.
Wait, and did you also say his parents were both chouches?
Yeah.
No. Angry, misled chouches were beating him. And his mother and father were
also. And his mother and father. Okay.
So he's just getting fucking thrown.
Worked from all sides, yeah.
There are rough and tumble chouches on the mean streets of Brooklyn, I guess.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
I blame the schools.
You should.
Yeah, and DeVos.
Oh, God.
You, yuck, don't even start. Okay. Anyhow.
That's a whole nother podcast.
Oh my God, maybe she's a chouch.
Maybe she is. All of the things are apparently, quote unquote, things in the land of Brooklyn, She-Man, and by association, He-Woman, the Thundercatfish, Ghost Borsters, and the creepy old dude in Schmoltergeist, who always sang, "God is in his holy temple." And also, television, dinner, family, Satan, and so on. Anyway.
All things.
I'm just establishing, you know, the lore of the land of here.
That there are things.
That there are things
exist. Okay, good. I'm glad.
Got it. One Satanmas morning, and I say Satanmas because Christ was a myth in the land of, as it should be. One Satanmas morning, young Wibblewops. God damn it. Where am I? Okay.
Young Wibblewops.
One Satanmas morning, young Wibblewops, thank you, had run elatedly down the stairs from his bedroom. I did a little hand motion for those who can't see. Elatedly, run elatedly down the stairs. Sorry, I just thought I'd set the mood.
No, describe perfectly.
From his bedroom, which was really a broom closet with a moldy straw mat on the floor and a bucket of shit in the corner. Anyways. He'd run down only to find his mother and father murdered horribly, albeit ironically, from the same chouches who had watched all those episodes of She-Man and beaten poor young Wibblewops with the family. The chouches, surprisingly not known for their intelligence, had taken to sitting on top of the unfortunate humans, which led to their demise. Because this story rocks.
Awesome. That is the single best justification for any event in any story is because awesome, period.
It was easy. Yeah, it worked out really well for the author, whomever
that
is. Upon seeing the ungodly or unsatanly sight, young Wibblewops McDurphy ran out of the room after opening his Satanmas presents, of course.
Wait, ran did he see his dead parents and then open his presents and be like, well,
I have to.
Or was it presents first, then dead parents?
Yeah, you goddamn right. You would, too. If your parents had died,
you
came down on Christmas morning, and you saw him dead, you'd open your shit and then get out.
I mean, I guess they're not coming back, even if you open your presents, so you might as well get them presents.
Right. You should open theirs, too. Take it all.
Fucking A.
Skip town.
Go to the Fuck neighbors.
Em. There's probably a skip it in one of those.
Yes, there probably is. Shit. Okay, you ran out of the room to the woodshed and grabbed a can of gasoline. He intended to incinerate his parents in their oh-so-comfy murderers in an effort to burn the terrifying images of his beatings out of his mind. But as he returned, he found that the chouches had vanished, leaving only the mangled corpses of his parents and a few gravy-stained pillows behind. So there you have it.
Gravy or ground gravy?
Probably both.
Man gravy?
Probably both.
Dan man gravy?
All sorts of gravy. All
right.
So there you have it. Go, go, gadget backstory. Back to the night at hand. Wibblewops was leaving the bar, and perhaps old Wibblewops needed to stretch his legs or get some fresh air or something. At least that's what he told his fellow drunkards as he stumbled out the door with a grin on his face, unzipping his pants. Some miles away stood a dilapidated shack that was twisted and broken, with gnarled beams that had buckled long ago and brought the roof down with them, letting the rain flow freely into the desolate rooms. The shack's wood panel exterior was damp and musty, and was... Well, you guys were, like, moving shit around over there.
No, sorry, yeah.
The exterior was damp and musty and was covered with a thick black moss that had eaten its way through the majority of the outer layer on its inevitable quest to claim the interior as well. An old gray stone and mortar fireplace stood partially erect at the center of the shelter, but it showed little signs of use save for a few burnt sticks and an old cauldron, which had recently been drained of a foul fluid that was sprinkled with fatty chunks and particulate matter.
Ew.
Yeah. The empty cauldron was no doubt... The empty cauldron, no doubt, added to the creature's irritation. It stalked about, roused by an unseen presence. Wibblewops pulled up to another chouch to let loose his trademark briny stream of urine all over the arm of the chair-slash-couch hybrid device. Bent on fulfilling the expression, "My piss is a dish best served cold." You know that old adage. He was trying to find and defile the chouches that had killed his parents. Which is weird, right? I mean, you heard the fucker's backstory. His parents beat the shit out of him while watching poorly animated network television brainwashing garbage. Why would Wibblewops care to avenge them at all? Well, unfortunately, he'd never come to terms with the fact that he was an idiot and a drunk. And also, piss wasn't cold. Neither was it a dish, except on lonely nights spent dreaming of love and urine. But still, Wibblewops couldn't help whistling a jaunty drunken tune as he tagged his fifth chouchy victim of the night, smiling his toothless smile. The chouch cringed at the feel of the lukewarm abrasive fluid on its fine, pleathery skin. And yes, his piss was abrasive. That's fucking gross.
Yeah, he needs to see a doctor.
Serious problems.
Unless he's part rock giant, he should not be peeing sand.
Mm-hmm. The chouch wished upon a star that it could exact sweet vengeance on this drunken fool. This wasn't the first time the chouch, Harold was his name, by the way, had been violated by Wibblewop's penile excretions, or anyone else's excretions for that matter. Harold's entire life had been one humiliating piss-receiving event after another. A pleathery tear rolled down Harold's front cushion.
Oh.
93% of the audience moaned and shared an empathetic tear.
Oh, I'm 93% of the audience.
You are. You fit the statistics. Further in the depths of the fields, the creature unseeingly grasped the fringes of its cloak and pulled it over its elongated head. Then, with a great leap, burst suddenly out of the top of the shack, urged on by the stench of chouch exploitation and a raging boner.
One and the same.
It let out a vicious, grating scream, it was time to feed. Harold, you know, the chouch, looked, sorry.
So much tension.
I know, I'm bouncing all over the
place. That is a jump cut and a half. I
can't even figure it out. Harold looked up at old Wibblewops McDurphy and suppressed the chill rolling up his chouch spine at the familiar shriek of the monster that inhabited the chouch fields of Mr. Bojangles. Though Harold was currently being sexually violated after receiving a hot shower from Wibblewops, nothing new here. He was astute enough to notice that his assailant didn't hear the beast calling for his prey. Being chouch ass rammed by a drunken buffoon was not Harold's favorite pastime, but he stayed as still as he could, knowing that the gruesome fate that soon would become of the drunken bastard. If chouches could smile, Harold would have thrown down a motherfucking grin so crunk even Little Wayne couldn't pop to it. Aw, yeah.
That one's for the kids.
That's a nice, like, 2006 reference.
Yeah. Now you know where I'm coming from.
2006?
Mm-hmm. 10 more years pass.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This is like a 30-year-old story.
It's arcing like a motherfucker. 10 more years pass, and the few hundred ducks who died previously have come back to life.
What?
Yeah, to team together and hunt down our children.
Nick is so confused.
Oh my God.
What? He keeps looking at me like, what? What? Why are they now, hunting down the children? What
the and fuck? Now,
we have to keep listening.
The now zombie ducks,
Jesus Christ,
have found a way to infiltrate the bodies of children without killing them, and now control their minds.
Uh-huh.
Okay, stay with me.
Uh-huh.
Another 10 years of despair later, at the hands of the mighty zombie duck children overlords, have nearly eradicated half of the adult population before we figure out all you have to do is throw moldy bread at the zombie duck children overlords to get them to go away. Such is life in the land of. Makes sense, right?
Amen.
Yeah, fucking yeah.
Amen.
Okay.
So 50 years later.
Small segue. Just like, time passes. Mm-hmm. Time passes. Mm-hmm. This is a story.
Mm-hmm.
Continuing. Rick Meeks. He's back. He's back.
Oh, good. Good. We introduced him at the beginning, and then there were chouches, and then there were ducks, and then there were
zombies.
Pissing yeah. hobos, and then there were zombie ducks.
That wasn't all for naught. Rick Meeks,
fabulous.
Our Rick, was cleaning the blood off of his beloved stiletto after another clean stealth kill. It had been 30 years since he'd broken the ties of his family and cut off his brother's face. Thinking back now, he felt at peace with his decision. Running from that place had given him the resolve to fight the injustices running rampant through the land of. Since that day, Rick had been eliminating the scourge of the land of one by one, and he was Satan damn good at it.
Oh my God, he's like the Punisher.
He is. Placing his stiletto back in its sheath, he looked down at his recent target. A low-life scum. Complete piece of shit, douchebag, fucktard, worthless garbage, piece of shit, fuck. He looked at his bronze, yellowed, fake-baked, spray-tan skin, his shitty, blonde comb-over, his stupid, pouty fucking lips, pushed out beyond their comfort zone, impossibly. Rick looked at this bloated, pompous-ass motherfucker and laughed. Happy to rid the land of such a total fucking douche. He bent over to gather a dab of the victim's blood on his fingertip and scrolled quickly down the long list of targets in his hand. Ronald Frump. Rick's...
Yeah.
Ronald Frump, Rick said in his gravelly voice. You're fired. He turned on his heel, opened the door, and walked confidently out into the night. Sometime later, a gnarled form covered in an unnervingly dark cloak slipped silently into the room where Rick, our Rick, had dispatched another douche. The creature, the beast, the monster of the chouch fields of Mr. Bojangles, had narrowly missed his prey yet again. Cursing itself for its stupidity, it turned and looked into a mirror mounted on the wall. The faceless, disfigured, scarred fiend it loathed stared back at it from the reflection. Wailing, the creature smashed the mirror to pieces. Sorry, Tim the Mirror.
Oh!
And ran out the open door to continue the pursuit. Dot, dot, dot.
Jesus. I have a feeling I'm going to have to re-listen to this two or three times to get all of the depth and all of the layers. There's a lot of shit going on in there.
That was epic as fuck. Yes, it was.
It's kind of you to call babbling nonsense that's totally disjointed layers, but thank you for doing that.
Nah, I feel like once I re-listen to it, it's going to start making sense.
I thought it made sense. There was an arc. There were some reaching points, yeah, but it well, made
I'm
sense.
Dumb, so...
What? I'm not sure why.
Touché. I mean, what do you say to a guy who says that?
That's not true, but I don't know why that was your response. Good job, Jesse.
Indeed.
Thank you.
That
thank
was
you.
Fucking...
Thank you.
So silly many as fuck, things. But... Thank God we know how to get rid of zombie ducks.
Yeah. Does that work on irregular zombies or just ducks?
Just zombie duck children overlords.
That makes sense.
How many of those are there?
I mean, there was enough to cause a scourge across the world.
That's not true, but
they killed
like
almost
years.
Half the adult population. That was pretty intense.
Is that of our world or the land of?
Oh, the land of.
Yeah, the land of.
Oh, good. What, at what but point no, in history yeah, does this take place?
When does any of the things we ever talk about take place in the history timeline?
I don't know.
We've really got kind of perhaps. A Doctor Who-esque timeline going on where anything could happen at any time.
Well, we could flesh it out in another story. Who knows?
Like maybe chapter two?
I was excited to kill the fuck out of Ronald Frump.
Yeah, who wouldn't be?
Yeah.
Okay, personally. I'm going to stop right here and...
The land of thanks you for wasting your time listening to this shit. Your mother would be very proud of your perseverance. Be sure to maintain a tight grip on your genitals until next time. Jesse, Mel, and Nick will be back again soon to take a pee-pee in your ear holes. It's the mother humping land of.